Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. The origin of seeking is an interesting topic. I don't mean to answer that in any sort of mystical way. The title kind of sounds that way. I want to keep this practical. You know, I didn't even know what the origin of seeking was until repression inquiry, to be honest with you. I would give the kind of patent answer that non-duality teachers give, which is like, well, it comes from the sense of separation. If you believe you're separate, if you feel that way, you'll seek that relief. But then it's going in the wrong direction because you are already the awareness. Recognize that you're already the awareness. You know, something like that. It's just not a great answer. And so many people have not ended suffering through that kind of teaching and variations of it. Even more sophisticated variations of it. Including my teachings that were good, my books are great, I still recommend them, but only as a start, because I only learned, really discovered where seeking comes from when I got to my buried anger. That's where it comes from. Just like the science says that a lot of suffering comes from emotional repression, seeking does too. I just don't think that science is going to study seeking in the way that we talk about it. What's the definition of seeking? It's like looking for something other than what is, or resistance to what is, and then turning towards future thinking or an urgency. If you recognize present moment awareness without getting to buried emotions, the seeking for present moment awareness would end. It does end. It's just simple, right? If I already am the awareness, the seeking for it is something that's arising and falling to awareness. And if I allow all that, technically, that could be a recognition of that I am this awareness already. And that happens for some people. I used to teach that way. My teachers did too. But really, that had no frame of reference for where that was coming from. And because I couldn't see where it was coming from, the seeking for awakeness came to rest because the awareness was recognized, but then here came cancer, an addiction, spinal stenosis, which was severe nerve pain, and then suicidal ideation. In that order, basically. So I didn't do it the right way, and I don't recommend that, actually, of just allowing everything to be, because we never are. So if you think of it this way, if you imagine a garden, and then there's everything above the surface, and then there's everything below the surface, but we can't see that, whatever that is. Now, what we see, what we're conscious of, visible of, everything we experience, see, taste, smell, state, experience, shift, realization, freedom, suffering, everything, pain, depression, bliss, joy, anything that you can experience is at the surface. And what you can't experience or feel or express is below the surface. And there's our real duality right there. And the way that that plays out is like, you know, when I discovered that I had buried anger, what, 10 or 11 years into my shift to presence, my duality that I missed, which I think most people do when they start a path, is buried anger. And then at the surface, present something opposite, which is, of course, false, a false identity, but it's the opposite of the buried anger. Like, I'm good. I'm peaceful. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm anything other than the buried anger. But then it's like not knowing why one appears at the surface a certain way. And then just kind of being shackled in a way to just allowing whatever comes to the surface. And that's very deceptive, because what comes to the surface is always the opposite of what one buries, or it's always not the buried emotions. And yet the buried emotions, as science says, and your body will show you, from below the surface, they are producing the weeds and everything at the surface. And if we focus on that in spirituality, like just being the garden, at the surface, or allowing the weeds, or processing the weeds, or really allowing them, like lovingly allowing them, and Well, we still haven't gotten to the buried emotions below the surface. So there's going to be more weeds, more suffering. For me, the shift to non-dual, or just a presence that wasn't embodied, was like, I am everything. The garden, the weeds, everything. Except the other half of the duality. I'm not the anger. In fact, I couldn't feel the anger. It was buried. So there's, again, there, the main duality didn't get seen in my shift, and that's why it wasn't embodied. The body part of it is the buried emotions. It's not even the stories and the beliefs that we find in the body. It's the buried, unprocessed emotions that create the sense of separation there. And having missed that, then I had to live a life, even with the awareness, recognition that was, well, I could say like it was an avoidant spiritual realization, a bypass. My whole life had been avoidance. I mean, as I said, I think I had an avoidant personality. That's what brought me to non-duality, because the promise of I can just wake up and be free outside of the context of relationship, that's where I found so much suffering. And I would just allow everything in the garden at the surface, just like the teacher said, or I would use inquiry that would dig somewhat below the surface, but not to the buried anger, and then kept experiencing suffering. And what I noticed was, eventually, once I got to the buried anger, that everything I was doing at the surface of the garden was actually just a form of seeking. For example, the easier ones to see are like, if I have pain appearing at the surface, then I don't know that maybe buried anger or sadness produces it from below the surface. I might try to alleviate or manage the pain. But that's a kind of seeking, because I can't get it to go away. Most times, you can manage it, but it becomes seeking to constantly manage it. But even if you don't use something to manage it, I was not using anything for many years and just letting pain be there as it is at the surface. And I became really good, I think, not as an ego thing, but like skillful with being with the most painful things, because I didn't know anything else to do. I didn't know how to get to the buried anger. So I was just there at the surface. I didn't understand that just resting with pain was its own form of seeking. Because I was, in the same way I was trying to seek some relief outside myself, resting with it was also an avoidance of the buried anger. So I was staying safe. That's what seeking is. And the function of it is to stay safe from what we've buried, and to seek outside of ourselves, or go up into our heads, or to the future, anywhere but to the buried stuff. But then I saw that not only was just allowing a sensation, but even when you get really skillful at it, and this is where I want to reference some other teachers. I was listening to Julian himself, and I don't know his real name, but he has a lot of people that listen to him on YouTube. Here's the issue. He was criticizing David Hawkins. I think it's healthy for teachers and healers and things like that to criticize each other or to make discernments. How else would Julian himself have been able to help the people that were coming to him without pointing out that the way he was encouraging people was different than Hawkins, which was an inspiration for him? So it was kind of nice to hear Julian criticize Hawkins by saying that Hawkins was focusing too much on emotion and not sensation. And I actually agree with Julian that we should focus on sensation. Well, anyway, Hawkins' book, Letting Go, does focus quite a bit on, as far as I can tell, I haven't read it all, you guys can tell me, on emotion, more than like deep contraction. If I'm wrong, it's fine. Julian himself is wrong then. But Julian's criticism to just be with emotion, even if you go right into it, where you feel some emotional knot or something, or just not the sensation of a deeper sensation, but just like an emotion. Julian's saying, well, that's first of all hard to find. It can be all over. But what Hawkins was saying is just wherever it is, go into it and fully allow whatever comes with it. Even if you rest in the center or as the center of it and allow it all. Well, that's fine. But again, if that's appearing as an emotion, that's safer than what's buried. And to sit there and focus on an emotion and allow it, it's just safe. It's a bypass. There's a reason that emotion is there. I became really good and skillful at resting and allowing hurt and woundedness and sadness. But those emotions were safer for me than buried anger. Didn't matter how good I got at allowing the sense of unlovability or vulnerability, I was too afraid of the buried anger below the surface. So being really skillful in focusing on emotions, I agree, is a bypass. But Julian says too, because even though I agree with him that we focus on sensations, he was saying something that I definitely don't agree with, which is, he was saying, just like Hawkins said, go into the sensation, the deeper knot or contraction behind it all. And he was referencing triggers, and I have an issue with that, but in a moment. But he was saying, in the middle of a trigger, feel deep into the body where you hold that, and just let that be right from the center of it. And I can just tell you right now, it doesn't work to end suffering. And I was even saying, Julian, you've got to tell them that. But he wouldn't say that because that doesn't work. But the way that he was also sharing it, I thought was just not helpful, because he was like saying, just allow it to, like, just allow it all. This sense of separation, just allow it to devour you, or this contraction. But no, because inside it is conditioning that says, I don't want to let go of it. I'm afraid. Because it's buried anger, hurt, or sadness. And we can't see that or hear that by bringing awareness into it. Buried emotions and the conditioning that's buried with it don't arise until we actually learn to prompt it up, which is our work. But Julia never got there. But other teachers have gotten there, and even I got there, where when you realize that you're always just at the surface of the garden, and that something is producing that, even if you're at the surface with something as seemingly deep as body contraction or this sense of separation or chronic pain. Again, I sat with chronic pain for years, just as Julian suggested. Didn't dissolve, it got worse. I then developed inquiry that would go into the pain and kind of go below the surface, you know, like would ask things, would come to the surface, but all of those things were safer than the buried anger. So it was all just a bypass at the surface until I got to the conditioning. I had to go into the sensation and pull up specifically the conditioning of anger and the fear of it. And that was tricky. But once I learned how to do it, it was easy to do. I could do it every time. And it was safe and it worked. And then I noticed as long as it was safe enough to continue, I had no problem and I wouldn't really stop doing it. And then the freedom happened. But the safety part is important. But it also has to work, which means it has to transmute that sense of separation, that contraction in the body transmutes. But not like Julian says, all at once. That's a pipe dream. That actually teaches people to look for experiences that end suffering so they don't have to really feel stuff. And that's the problem. Maybe repression is not wanting to feel stuff. And having buried it, now it's a sensation. And if you allow the sensation, a true transformation is you're going to have to feel stuff out of that, whatever you buried. And that's going to take a while because you don't want to feel it. On a rare occasion, as Adi Shanti says, in any generation, does someone truly embody the presence fully in one sudden experience. And to actually shoot for that, to think you're going to be that, is often to ignore what we've buried. Because we're seeking safety. Be really careful with that. And what I say is just get involved with a KI practice that sticks to dissolving that in a way that's safe, so it actually feels okay to, like, be authentic in your life. You actually feel safe to be that. Excuse me. I don't know if safe is the right word. It got cut off there. But, I mean, if we have a sudden experience, if you really thought about this for a moment, a lifetime of burying anger or fear that we don't know we have, to fully release that in one moment would be completely destabilizing for a lot of people. It just doesn't happen. Our system won't do it. So what it does is it creates resistance. And that's that same conditioning in the contraction, in the sensation, that resistance. as the same thing that creates it. So our resistance, in other words, to letting it go, is the same thing that creates the sensation itself. It's all being created from that. So the pain or the contraction itself comes from this emotional repression, unprocessed emotion. Our desire to get rid of it and feel better come from the same fear. Our techniques that bypass the buried emotions come from the same thing. The only thing that gets through is making conscious the conditioning that does all this, that does it all. That's a better focus. And that's not about allowing things at the surface of the garden. That's about sitting such that the underground of the garden is, you're aware of that at the same time as above the garden, so that when the pain is there, you're working with that conditioning below the surface that's deeply unconscious, that creates the pain to stay safe and get love. It just doesn't look like that it's there for that reason. Or the depression or anxiety or whatever. I was blessed again with a big tree in the garden, you know, like the diseases. You can't rest and allow diseases. You can allow symptoms, but you can't get to the root of that by resting and allowing what arises, because just like depression, these diseases, the science says many of them are produced by something that's repressed. So you're resting and allowing the effects of buried emotions, which can take the form of a disease. That can make you feel better temporarily, but that can be dangerous because, you know, there are other teachers who warn against that. Like if you have something that needs medical attention, but you keep resting and allowing it, and that particular condition needs immediate attention, it's just not a good way to be. Be more aware of the unconscious and what's driving things so that you see how you create suffering. You take more ownership of your experience than just being at the surface and allowing things that arise and fall. That's what I mean by surface. Meditation, mindfulness, being with what is, resting as awareness, and even many forms of inquiry that don't go below the surface enough. You can't end suffering if you don't get to the root of it. So seeking to me is, again, bigger than seeking awareness. That got put to rest for me. The suffering didn't at the surface, meaning it got quieter, of course, the recognition of presence. A lot of suffering went away, but that's also deceptive because that gives, like an anger repressor like me, peace, which is like a trauma response for us. If peace appears at the surface or in our lives, it's what we're looking for. It's very easy to kind of fall asleep in that as an anger repressor and then continue suffering in different ways. It's weird, but it happened to me in the form of diseases because I was too focused on that peace that was obviously there from present moment awareness. This is why I tell people, you have to be careful, because it's like being drawn to the light that then hides you from the darkness that can make you really sick. Oh, and so that's what I want to talk about here, is seeking in this way. If you can imagine a human being, don't let it be you, let it be more someone else, so you can kind of see it more objectively. Just some person. That person has, let's say, buried anger. The solution for that person would be to go down into the body where the buried anger is and make that conditioning conscious, transmute that, the root of suffering. But now watch the person go to anything other than that. Just imagine the person trying to alleviate their suffering in any other way. Just sit for a moment and I'll come in. Imagine the person goes to the doctor, but the doctor doesn't point to the buried emotions that create that issue, even though the science talks about it. Well, then that person is avoiding the buried emotions. The doctor's helping, maybe innocently. But that's a kind of seeking to avoid those buried emotions, but then there's relief in it in some way, perhaps. That relief, again, is an issue because, okay, temporary reprieve, we still have the buried emotions. Now watch that person, let's say, take care of that pain with a doctor or whatever it was. Now there's the person and they still have buried anger. They can't see it. And see, things are being produced at the surface. Here comes depression. Can you see the duality in the person? They have buried anger in the body. And then here's this depression to replace the chronic pain. So they go to the therapist. But the therapist has not dealt with their buried emotions, may even be seeking love and approval. All humans are. If you have buried emotions, you are. So that therapist has no interest in doing work with buried emotions. Some therapists are good at it. So this is not about all therapists. But let's say they go there and they don't get to the buried emotions. But they get some freedom or relief. And that's the deceptive part because, okay, look, if you're an anger repressor and at the surface of the garden you get some peace or reprieve, now you've really fooled yourself into thinking you've solved something. Even if you got relief, some people go to the therapist and don't get the relief. Truly. But now watch the person having not gotten to the buried emotions and now creating, turning these all these things into what I call mistresses, which is where you seek relief from your suffering, but instead you stay safe and get love and turn that doctor, that therapist, that teacher into something that helps you do that. It's just like meeting a mistress and you think you're going to really fall in love and this is the one, but there's no authenticity there and it ends up being just a mistress. And, you know, it's the same thing with a path or a person or a practice or a doctor or a therapist. We want to keep avoiding from the unconscious level. So that person who went to the therapist, when she walked in the door, she might have said, I really want this depression to go away. The therapist writes that down. That's the treatment objective. But at the unconscious level, I just want to stay safe and get love. I want to suffer. I have to be depressed, is the conditioning. If that doesn't come to light in the therapy, that person is still going to suffer later, even if the depression is alleviated. If it isn't, you still have that issue. But imagine if that person alleviates the depression. But now it's like they're not depressed, but they're like anxious, and the anxiety is a problem. It's like another thing came to the surface of the garden. Let's say this time the person goes to mindfulness. Mindfulness then doesn't get to the buried emotions, but can bring relief. And that's an issue because if the person has, again, buried hurt or sadness, peace or the relief of suffering is seductive, even if temporary. And it can lull the person into, okay, now if I come back to being mindful, now I'm really ending my suffering. But it doesn't happen for most people fully because they don't get to the buried emotions. That she can't be mindful of what doesn't arise. And if she's mindful of a sensation that contains repression, she can't be mindful of the buried emotion in that because it's now concretized into a sensation and it's all hidden. So let's say, though, the anxiety gets better through the mindfulness approach, but now there's cancer. See, they could go back to the doctor, but if the cancer was created by the buried emotions, like science says it often is, what are we doing? That was my life, in a way, until repression inquiry. And to me, it's all seeking. And I have to say this myself, is that sitting as awareness and just hanging out there as if I was done or that that was all that I had to see and that I didn't have buried anger itself was a kind of seeking. Seeking to stay safe from what I had been running from the whole time. So when you define it that way, I think we could take more ownership that way. See, because then with KI, again, you become aware of the underground. You see how not only the suffering is created, but all your attempts to alleviate the suffering at the surface end up being safe from the buried emotions, and then the suffering continues. And then you're on what I've called perhaps you call it an avoidant spiritual path, which means these three signs. This was my life, and I wish somebody would have said it because I would have done something about it earlier. It was my whole life. So sign number one, disconnection. Sign number two, find relief, but instead turn it into a mistress. Let's call that find a mistress. And three, repeat the avoidance cycle because you didn't get to the buried emotions. So it's just disconnection, find a mistress, repeat. But what's interesting is, well, once we can get past the idea, because we all know that we all have disconnection as human beings, that doesn't seem hard to define. But how I know it is, when I was in sixth grade, after having to like bury all these emotions and suffer as this kid who was bullied, little gay kid, I had the thought, I'll never connect with another human. That's how I know disconnection. It's a felt sense of separation. And then all the suffering that came from that. So that's why I use those words, see if they resonate, but you can also use the word separation, that's number one. And all the suffering that comes from that. That's created by the unprocessed emotions, that disconnection. Look at the science, it's creating most of the suffering. It's creating a lot, if not all, of the relational suffering that we have. Buried emotions. And this number two is always, almost always about alleviating the relief, but not getting to the buried emotions. And that's why we turn the thing that we seek relief from into a mistress, which just means something that doesn't actually get to the buried emotions. And so it's a temporary thing, you know, like a fleeing. Might be a 5-year fleeing, but it just doesn't get to the buried emotion. So the suffering continues, and therefore the avoidance continues, and we're back into the finding someone else. That's number three, finding something else. And then that just keeps repeating. See that? Because the disconnection is there, we're always looking for something, but we can't find that, right? Because it's not just about I'm the awareness. It's we have to allow it all to be free and to find what we're looking for. We can't do that with buried emotions. We will always have some form of disconnection or some form of suffering, even if it's an emotionally created disease or pain, if we have the buried emotions. We will seek as much as we can to avoid going to the buried emotions to end the suffering. That's a seeking. Even to me, if you're resting as awareness, that's a refusal at the unconscious level to go there, and therefore a seeking. Once we see it, that's what that is, we go underground, so to speak. With repression inquiry, we go right to the source in the body. And we see that not only is the stuff coming at the surface of the garden being produced by that, but also, as I said, all of our attempts to alleviate the suffering, but then turn everything into a mistress. Our avoidant spiritual path is just staying at the surface of the garden. Even if, as I said, in my experience was like, okay, I'm the garden and all the weeds, but doesn't matter because I didn't get below the garden, below the surface. So the main duality between what was buried and then the stuff at the surface continued. What we say is, be above and below ground at the same time. And that's our work. I think that's all I have to say. I think that's the seeking for awakening or healing, that just gets capitalized on here. When it comes up, we just say, look at how that comes from the same buried emotions. Bring that into the body. That suffering starts to end as that's included, just like the different forms of suffering, once you become skillful. And for that, I put some links, as I always do in these episodes, in the description. Click on them and see what I'm offering. Reach out and talk to me. Thank you.